Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio talk show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Good morning. It's 9:04 a.m. on this wonderful August 22nd, 2022. Time is flying by, and we need to wake up and smell the coffee, because there's a new cup being brewed every second. We need to wake up and see what's going on in our world today. We need to wake up and pay attention to what's transpiring. We need to see by being awake by any means necessary, because guess what? The revolution will be televised. The revolution will be televised. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Good morning, good morning, good morning. If you want to call into our show today, You can dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue, and you can talk about whatever we're talking about, because we're going to be talking about some very powerful stuff this morning, some things that you need to hear, some things that you need to know, some things that will help us be prepared for what's coming, because we do have rights. We have human rights, constitutional rights. We have our civil rights. And a lot of times our rights have been violated by the extracurricular activities that have taken place in this place called Earth, this planet called Earth, this government called the United States of America. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So without further ado, I want to just start off this morning with talking about what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where two biological blood brothers shot and killed each other in a vehicle yesterday evening around 5 p.m. in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I don't know what happened, and I don't know why it happened, but if you read in the Bible, it tells you in perilous times will take place, and that it'll be mother against father and sister against brother and brother against brother, and it's playing out. It's playing out. You know, two brothers shot each other to death, and then I was on Facebook preparing my show, and on one of my notifications, I saw some stuff about, you know, people going against each other, mother and daughter going against each other, mother and daughter going head to toe. Just stuff that's just not right. Good morning, Sister Moni Scott. How are you? Welcome to the show, Minister Moni Scott. It's just some stuff going on that's just not right. And we need to be ready, get ready, and stay ready so when these things transpire, we won't be surprised. We'll know how to act, and we'll know when to act, and we'll know what to do. So that's very, very important. I see this morning we're going to have some very interesting topics this morning. One of our first topic is, are teachers stressed out? Good morning, Moni Scott, Minister. Are teachers stressed out? Are teachers and principals stressed out? And are they burned out? Now, you know, teachers, they play a lot of roles. If a student comes to school and the student's having a bad day, they play mom, they play dad, they play counselor, teacher, psychologist, psychiatrist, and everything else. I mean, the teacher has a very important role, because they are responsible for every child in that room. And, you know, in the morning, parents just drop their kids off or send them off to school, and some of the kids come to school without breakfast. So the teacher has to make sure that those kids have a balanced meal so they can do good on their test. How can you do a test if you don't have a meal inside your stomach to help you think better, to help you react better, to help you to come up with situation, problem resolution situation, especially if teachers are teaching the kids that we're teaching today, which a lot of our young people today, and I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying a lot of our young people today are completely, this is an out-of-control generation. This generation is out of control. We don't need parents being kids' friends. That's not what we need. A teacher doesn't need that. A teacher doesn't need a parent to be a kid's friend. A teacher needs a parent to be a parent. I remember the Parents Teachers Association. I remember when we were going to school, our parents would come and go to open school night and go to see your work and your grades and check up on you, see how you're doing, maybe even surprise you and come to your classroom. That hardly ever happens anymore. You have mothers coming down to the school in their pajamas with a rag around their head and some house shoes trying to confront the teacher because the teacher had to discipline the student. And the mother's mad because the teacher had to do what the teacher shouldn't have to do. The teacher shouldn't have to discipline your child. Your child should come to school with proper etiquette. And if your kid comes to school with proper etiquette, then you don't have to worry about somebody coming down there using foul language, using arrogant words because they're upset because you had to tell their kid to put their cell phone down during class. You shouldn't have to, teacher shouldn't have to tell a student to put your cell phone up during class. That should be automatic. But guess what? It all starts at home. Everything starts at home. So I'm going to ask, today we're going to have some, you know, our co-producers and our producers come on and talk about why teachers are so important, why teachers are stressing out, burning out, and a lot of them are just quitting education, period. They just don't even want to work in education. They don't even want to be a teacher anymore. Some teachers are ready to have resigned, and a lot of them have, because they feel like the system is not helping them to be a good teacher. And a lot of people have to deal with administrators. Administrators have a very tough job because the administrator's job comes from the district. What they want them to do, it comes from the district, and it goes down to the administrator, and the administrator has to give it to all the teachers. And sometimes the teachers are upset because they feel like it's a personal thing coming from the administrator, but it's not. It's coming from the district. And the district is the one that is showing how out of control our kids are these days. The district is the reason why a lot of our kids are failing in school, because the district needs to come up with some new strategies and new plans. Hallelujah. Yes, Cynthia Bell, I got you a messenger. Our kids are out of control. When you see kids fighting their own parents, you know they're out of control. When you hear kids cursing at their parents, you know they're out of control. So if they're doing that at home, what do you think they're going to do at school when their parents are not around? Okay, we have to wake up as parents, as leaders, as mentors, and do a better job with our kids. The school district, not just LA Unified, but all school districts need to do a better job with our administrators, with our teachers, who should be paid like doctors, because their job is big. What's up, Brother Maurice Ballantyne? Hallelujah. That's right. And then on the campus, you have bullying. You got kids bullying each other, and then you got administrators talking crazy to the teachers, which you never hear that behind the scenes because you don't know about that. But it does happen. You have administrators and principals who are going through things just as well as the kids. So without further ado, I want to get in the studio our co-producer, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Welcome to the show.
Pastor Eddie, such a sad story there with those two brothers. Man, it's just so much going on in this world. But once again, I want to welcome everybody to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Show. So good morning to all our listeners, all of our followers, the co-panelists, giving God praise and all the glory and thanks, man. We got to change this year. Wake up, everybody, because you just tuned in to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show. Pastor Eddie, thank you for having me again.
It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words, Brother Clarence M. Allen. It's an honor and a pleasure. And without further ado, let's get in the studio our co-producer, Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. How are you, sis? How's everything going?
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Clarence, and all the listeners. I am doing wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Amen, amen. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the
Granny
show. Welcome
Brady, good
to
morning.
The show.
Good morning, the regulator.
And without further ado, let's get into the studio our co-producer, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show, Professor Reams. How are you this morning? Hey, Shamanika.
Good morning, Pastor good morning. Jones. Good morning, the regulator, and good morning, Dr. Granny V. All is well. And as I say, we're going to this is a wonderful treat every Monday because we're at the best blog talk radio program in the nation. So everyone, let's sit back. Let's get into our comfortable chair, have our favorite drink, and let's dive into the topic that Pastor Jones has geniusly, as usual, put together for this week. So good morning, good morning, good morning.
Everybody
good
say
morning,
morning.
Professor Reed.
Yeah, Professor Reed. And without further ado, I want to shout out my cousin all the way down in Texas, Shamonica Bell. Hey, cousin Shamonica, how are you? And I want to talk about Lucky's hair products. They are wonderful. Look up Lucky's. Just go to Lucky's in Texas, Lufkin, Texas, and look that up. And if you need any kind of hair products, and I do mean any kind, Shamonica, you know you're welcome to call into the show anytime you get ready. Sending my love to you and to everybody in our family out there in Texas. Without further ado, it is time to get my daughter in the studio, Talana Zion Jones. Talana Jones, welcome to the show. How are you? Welcome to the show, Talana.
Thanks, Daddy. Good morning, everybody. I am blessed to wake up this morning, glad to be here one more time, and I just want to wish everybody a happy, blessed Monday and wonderful week this week. I love you all, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Butterfly Talana.
Now, we're talking about a very interesting topic today. Our topic is, are school teachers and principals burned out? Are they burned out? Are they stressed out? I've been hearing lately that teachers are having anxiety attacks. I've been hearing lately that teachers are being stressed out. They're being overworked and underpaid. And a lot of teachers are just leaving the district because they're not giving the teachers what they need in order to teach properly. And then they'll give them a project on a Friday and have a deadline on Monday. Now, what teacher wants to take her work home? Okay, you're already there working overtime at school. You're already dealing with 30. They say that there's an overload of students in the classroom, like the classrooms are overcrowded. And then you have kids who have disabilities, and then you have kids with mental disorders. And I'm not saying that they're bad, but I'm saying that if they're off their medication and they're not taking it, they could do things at school like start a fight or bully someone or hurt themselves. Not only that, we have teachers that are just leaving education, period, because they are burned out. They're stressed out. And so I did some reading over the weekend and studying about why teachers feel the way they do. Why are teachers quitting on an all-time high? When they love to teach. They love to teach kids. They love to be with the kids. But now they're saying that a lot of the kids are out of control, that the parents are not parenting their kids the way that they should. They allow them to use foul language, smoke marijuana, talk crazy to the parents. And if they're talking crazy to the parent, you know they're going to go to school and talk crazy to a student or a teacher and want to do something. And then we have to call the wraparound team or the PET team or the police department to come into the school. And the teachers don't want the police to come on campus with their guns out because it builds up fear in the kids. I don't know if you know or not, but a lot of when I was going to school, like I said, we have parent-teacher association, and people went to school. Your parents came to the school, sat down with your teacher, found out what was going on. If you were lacking in any area of your education, your parents made sure that you magnified your lesson so that you could catch up. And if you had to go to summer school to catch up, you had to go to summer school. Parents these days are too busy trying to be their kids' friend. I see parents on Instagram twerking with their daughters, okay? And just how do you twerk with your daughter on Instagram and be your daughter's friend instead of being your daughter's mother? These are some perilous, trying times. We're living in the final days, and if you don't believe me, just keep seeing what you see. Like I told you this morning, yesterday in Minneapolis, Minnesota, two brothers shot themselves to death in a vehicle over a dispute. I don't know if it was over a woman. I don't know if it was over money, but they're both dead this morning. And these are the kind of things that are happening because lawlessness is taking place not only on the streets, but a lot of teachers saying that lawlessness is taking place on the campus and that they don't have enough security. They don't have enough school police. And the school police are lacking because they have a lot of employees that have gone out on COVID or not working because they don't want to deal with the kids anymore, and so they're retiring. So let's talk a little bit more about why
teachers are burned out, why teachers are stressed out, and why they are quitting education. Actually, I think, okay, my daughter's a school teacher, and I have friends that are school teachers, and I hear some amazing, unbelievable stories about the things that are taking place on campus, on and off campus. It has to do with students not respecting teachers, not respecting faculty, not respecting themselves, and apparently not respecting their parents. Because if they were, and then you have kids that are in the foster care system, then you have kids that have a single parent home, and parents, a lot of parents are, these days they're trying to work two jobs so that they can take care of the kids. But if you give your, if your kid is a latchkey kid and they can come home to a house with a key around their neck, they're going to do what they want to do at home because you're not there to supervise them. You're not there to give them the leadership, motivation, integrity, dignity, social skills, etiquette, self-love, and self-respect. So they're going to take the matters in their own hand, and they could always say, well, I don't have to worry about what my mom said because I could do whatever I want to do. No, you can't do whatever you want to do. And that's when they found out when they get arrested or they go to jail for something that they shouldn't have been doing, that's when they find out that they just can't do whatever they want to do. And by that time, it's too late. If the teacher has to call the police, if the administrator has to call the police, if the principal has to call the police, it's too late. Because once the police get them in their hands, no matter how old they are, and I've heard them put handcuffs on a seven-year-old girl. Yes, I've heard the police put handcuffs on a seven-year-old girl because she was being disruptive. She was talking like her mother. So the police came on campus and they put handcuffs on her. Yes, there was controversy about it. Yes, there was a lot of backlash about it, but it happened because the little girl was out of control. And the police officer had no other thing to do but put the handcuffs on the seven-year-old girl. And by that time, she started crying because she realized she couldn't move anymore. She couldn't do what she wanted to do. But by that time, it was too late and it was too out of control. Without further ado, I'm going to go over to first, I'm going to start off with Professor Reams, and then I'm going to go to Clarence M. Allen, and then we're going to go to Talana Jones. Earlene Green, welcome to the show, Earlene Green. We're talking about teachers are overworked, stressed out, burned out, and they should be paid like doctors. They should be paid like surgeons because a teacher has to be a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, a mother, a father, and a teacher. Okay, a teacher has more titles than just teacher. And even though you have your master's degree, your doctor's degree, they're still, I feel like teachers are not getting paid for what they have to deal with. Okay, when you got a kid out of control in the classroom and a teacher's trying to step in between two students that are physically fighting in the classroom and then the teacher gets hurt trying to stop the kid, the teacher shouldn't have to do that. That's not a teacher's job. A teacher's job is to teach the kids how to prepare for the future, whether it's history, algebra, English, physical education, whatever. The teacher is trying to prepare you for the rest of your life. And if they have to stop and deal with kids that are fighting in the classroom, then the other 29 kids are not getting the lesson that they should be getting because of this unnecessary confrontation between students. So without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Why are teachers burned out? Why are they stressed out? Why are they leaving education? Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Take the floor.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. One thing, and you know, you've set it up very well, because one component of it is the readiness of the students to go into the school to be able to act accordingly, you know, based on home. Because it was a cyclical process. Now, I come from a family of teachers overall, both me and my wife. And many times what was happening in the classroom would also, we would experience with our parents and how they were handling their teaching. And then, of course, they moved up into the administrative roles. So it was expected that what parents would do as they were teaching us is that they would lay the foundation for things that we had to know, things that teach us how to read, write, all these other things. And that going to school would just fortify and add something to what we've just learned from home in order to come back. Then we would have homework, bring that home and parents were involved, we go back. And so it was a nice cyclical thing where we were as a village, we were educating our kids, all kids, to be able to move forward. Because as we've mentioned, the teacher's job, as you've talked about, deals with the education and the survival of a nation. Because without your teachers having some knowledge, some skills or skill sets, then you can't have your future CEOs, your future CFOs, your future sports players, your future this, because there is no future because you didn't lay down a good foundation, no different than laying down a foundation in with the Lord, you know. So our first thing is, you know, we have our children. We introduce them to the Lord first. Then through the Lord and us together, we work together on educating that child as a village so that come time when they need to move into society, we will keep the process of society moving on. But with this as a kink to it, it now puts a crack in our whole society where we may not survive because of the lack of foundation. So the rationale behind the burnout, and I will say, yes, they are totally burned out. I'm in higher education, and well, I can already see that what's going on in the classroom from K to 12 is having an effect within colleges and universities as well, because it's almost screening everyone out to be able to get to a higher education, which would then mean that you have more workers that are being employed for other things. And the one thing that always heartens me is that when we have these problems, I can see those who are against public education using this as a way of saying that public education is not working and that we should just segregate it again so that only the rich or powerful have an education and everyone else should just pick up a trade. That's for another topic. Wow. But this is the focus that we're dealing with. This, along with the family issues, has shown the crack in the American education system because, again, we're dealing with a pandemic. So they took a poll saying that 44% of K-12 employees, including teachers, are burned out. And it's due to not only dealing with the students, but also the pandemic. You have widespread teacher shortages that are going because people are leaving. Then you also have had those that are staying do Zoom as well as trying to deal with, as you've mentioned, Pastor Jones, deteriorating mental health, family issues, and then protocols, as well as mass school shootings. Because now we have governors who are considering not only adding on to everything that you've mentioned, but also firearms training as well. So now you have placed the responsibility almost away from the student, but from the family and from the parents onto the teacher from the period to do everything for the student. And because of that, this has resulted in three symptoms because for a while they were not identifying what it meant by burnout. First, one thing that always happens is that we may talk about burnout and all these other things, and then we get lip service that you need to toughen up, you need to do self-help, you need to pray more, you need to do all this other stuff without really looking at it as if it's a real thing. And so one professor, thank goodness for American psychology, Christina Maslach, who said, first of all, that symptoms of exhaustion and burnout means exhaustion. First, feeling constantly drained of energy. And I can tell you, you're not tired. You're tired once each and every class that you have. Now, let's understand that for K-12, at least with the little kids, you're still trying to develop those skills. But when you have multiple classes in junior high and high school where it is folks that are going to be teaching 2 and 3 and 4 courses a day, that in itself, by the end of the day, you don't have much time to think about, especially if you have to receive the homework and grade it and bring it back so that you assess the student very well, only to find out that what you've talked about, they're failing, you feel that you failed them because they're not getting the lesson. So that's the exhaustion. The next is ineffectiveness, you know, the feeling your work doesn't accomplish anything no matter how hard you try, you know, and you've tried counseling.
Professor Rains,
Oh, yes. We can't hear you. You're going out a little bit. Can you speak just a tad louder?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Because it's a feeling like your work doesn't accomplish anything because of the fact that you've tried everything. Nothing seems to be working. And it almost seems as though as hard as you try, you're not being given feedback or even support by the administrators and or the school itself. And the third thing is cynicism. Because of the exhaustion, because of the ineffectiveness, then you have cynicism seeing the people you're trying to help as a source of your problem overall. Those three symptoms lead to burnout because then you wonder, then what good am I in the clinic? I can't go through this. And because you're worrying about this, then you start having problems with sleep, tension, anxiety, depression, all of these things. And you've just gone through one day of class. You still have four more days to go through, then the weekend. Then you have the issue of the school districts coming up with unrealistic goals and objectives. So one thing that they identify with the teachers is that they feel like they're in two different worlds. One of the mind, one of actual reality. In the mind, they said is that there's a standard where they have to achieve so much for their students, test scores, you know, in and or where they should be, because in order to get the funding necessary or get the perks necessary by the district, they have to achieve so many or achieve these numbers in order for them to be considered effective. This is also linked to your performance review based on the math scores, English scores, history scores that are going to be needed that will prepare some of the students for like the SAT exam or other standardized tests. Thank goodness in California they took a look at standardized tests and found out that, you know, they didn't score on a standardized test did not match whether a person was going to be successful or not, because it came down to a combination of perseverance and people knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are and then working through them in order to achieve what they want to achieve. The score is just an indicator, but it's not the sole indicator. Okay, but the teacher is being held responsible for that. So if it doesn't work out for them, then there's the issue that crops up. And you've also mentioned pay. The teachers union out here has been very strong in advocating doing everything that it can to show that all that you need to do is, with your expectations, reduce the class size, put in more realistic expectations, give opportunities for relaxation or some rest, because this happened under COVID when we were forced in business to stay home. And so what they did, they shortened the work week, they implemented flexible work schedules, they came up with hybrid work plans. And what was interesting is that when the parents, during the time we were on lockdown, had to teach the children, they were even more exhausted than the teachers. They were happy when the schools opened up because it was a lot for them as well. But that goes back to how it used to be, to where when we all went to sleep, we all had our lessons, our parents had made sure that we had what we had, then we can move forward. But it's a lot of work, not being a pal, but just being a parent. So when that happened, the steps to address the situation, of course, we're going to go in prayer first, but we have to change those standards, as you've mentioned. We have to look realistically as what you have. In many of my classes, I don't go on the idea that that many of my students, even though they might have been exposed to it, that they really know exactly what I want them to do. So we start learning this together. So I'm learning with them how to do statistics. So it, as opposed to just lecturing, and hope you get it, and good luck to you, or it sucks to be you, and you fail, sort of thing. No, we start this off together because if I train them right, they should be able to pass any exam that I give them. Now, if I've given them all this stuff and they still don't do well on the exam, okay, that's fine. That's fair. Because at least I've taken the time to show them how to do it. We've had practice. We've had discussions. I've even opened up in the evenings or whenever they're available, tutoring sessions. This is higher ed. With your K-12 teachers, they don't have that time, but it was through, as you mentioned, through the PTA and having back-to-school nights and all these other surprise visits, identifies, including with progress reports, find out where the student was and then work out a plan so that either they could get tutoring or go to summer school. So, yes, and I had just what I just said to you overall is a major 9 to 5, actually it's 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7 that the teacher goes through. The good thing, of course, is that they do get holidays during the summer, unless they're teaching summer school. But the appreciation and the work being done with the district is the biggest thing, because then their expectations, it's almost circular. The parents expect so much. However, their part is slowly being, you know, they're moving themselves out of the part that they play, so that the teacher is having to take on being everything, and then the parent gets the chance to be the friend to their child. So this is where there's been the imbalance there, and the teachers are saying that this is unfair and that we have lives of our own and that it's time that I free up my future to find other endeavors. Because, again, you're asking the teachers to sacrifice their time, of course, because that's what we're doing. They do it gladly. But then with the pandemic, to sacrifice their bodies, because we had a number of folks to go back, and then when they took away the mask, then they took ill. Okay, now you've endangered the teacher where they have to go back to their own families, and they still have to work, and hopefully the district is still paying them so they can come back and finish everything up. So
right.
It's a never-ending struggle to try to do the ideal thing of what's in their mind and the harsh reality of what they don't have. You got to remember, at one point in time, teachers were pulling out of their own pockets because the district didn't have Xerox machines or couldn't get the kids' books, okay? So it's almost like you have a factory mentality of we just get them in and get them out, as opposed to a more holistic value added where let's get together and find out where our students are. Some are visual learners. Some are writers. Some need to be talked to, and just find all the different learning modalities that will help our students to learn. And
right.
Unfortunately, like in some universities, you're measured by how many, we call it, heinies in a seat that you have to make the numbers so that they can keep the lights on. So that is the state of affairs, but are they burned out? Oh, yes. And would they, you know, put their lives on the line? They do it all the time. And the one thing about it is they love to teach, but the field of teaching doesn't love them back at this point. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow. Let's give a big hand to well said, Professor. Well said.
Absolutely.
That was deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, swifter than the rivers. I want to shout out some people on Facebook Live. Hey, Diana Forte, what's going on? God bless you. Hey, Debbie Taylor in my Eddie voice, all the way out there in ATL in Atlanta. God bless you. God bless you. Sister Erin Green, God bless you. God bless you and sending love and respect to you. And we and Sister Minister Moni Scott, who has been chiming in. Everybody on Facebook Live, please chime in. And that was very, very well said. We are going to go to Clarence M. Allen. But just before I go to Clarence M. Allen, I want you to know we're talking about teachers that are stressed out, teachers that are burned out, teachers that are having anxiety attacks, and trust me, I've been hearing about teachers who are having migraine headaches. Yes, migraine headaches. And the reason why they're having them, because they're stressed out. They've been going to the hospital. They've been having medical things that transpire that haven't normally transpired because of the stress of what they have to go through since COVID-19. And a lot of teachers had to learn how to work remotely from home because they couldn't work in the classroom because of COVID. And it was mandatory by the state and the government that they have to go through special programs to learn how to work remotely from home, and which put the kids behind. The kids, some of the 7th and 8th graders that were supposed to be 9th and 10th graders were still working at a 7th and 8th grade level when they should have been working at a 9th and 10th grade level. But because of being at home for 2 years behind COVID, it put everything behind. The whole educational system fell behind. And so now you have teachers trying to catch up kids. And then I heard teachers complaining, and this is real. They were remotely working from home, and in the background you could see mom smoking a blunt in the background, or mom coming out the shower, and the teacher has to say, hey, tell your mom, turn your cameras off, kids, turn your cameras off. And people have to remember, the camera might be right there in your face, but you can see all around the whole room. So you have parents that were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing in the background, forgetting or not caring that the camera was on. Little Mikey comes jumping out the bed, and he's in the classroom with no shirt on. You know, and then the teacher has to say, little Mikey, hey, Evangelist Virginia Valentine, God bless you. Little Mikey, go put a T-shirt on because all the other students can see you. And then you got mom coming in with her rag tying around her head, her pajamas on, and, you know, hey, Miss Teacher, this is Shamika. I'm just hollering out, shouting out the class. You know, no, we don't need parents getting on there doing that while the teacher's trying to teach remotely, away from the attention of the kids, and the teacher is working so hard to do her job. And not only when you have to work remotely, that means you got to go through special training. That means you have to take away from the classroom environment and start training on working remotely. So without further ado, and I'm just keeping it real, Evangelist Virginia Valentine, I want to reiterate what our topic is right now. Are teachers burned out? Are they stressed out? Why are they getting anxiety? Good morning, good morning. Why are they quitting education altogether? We need to make sure that our kids get a good education, because when we get older, and I'm talking about, I mean, I know I'm mature right now, but I'm talking about older, where I need these students that are supposed to be our doctors of the future, our caretakers of the future. If they are failing like they are now, what's going to happen when it comes to them to do whatever it takes to help us survive? A deep concern, a realistic concern. We need teachers to be paid better. Teachers should be paid like doctors, like surgeons. Hey, good morning, Gloria Majors. How are you? God bless you and your family. Without further ado, let's go to Clarence M. Allen, and we're going to save Talana because Talana has some special information about why teachers are burned out, why teachers are stressed out, why teachers are having anxiety attacks, why teachers are having migraine headaches and going to see doctors because of their problems that they're having, and why kids are out of control in the classroom. Guess what? Everything starts at home. If you agree with me, just show some hearts and some likes on Facebook Live. If you hear me and you hear what I'm saying and you believe that everything starts at home and that a kid's education starts at home, give me some hearts and some likes right now. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you for the hearts, because there's no way in God's green earth a student should come to school and disrespect the teacher or disrespect other students or bully other students. Amen. It just should not ever, ever, ever happen. So without further ado, Clarence D. Mellon, come on in, take the floor. Why are teachers stressed out? Why are they burned out? Why are they having anxiety attacks? Why are they quitting education altogether? Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. This is another hot button topic that needs to be discussed more openly, because one of the most important jobs in our society is teaching, are our teachers. They educate us from pre-K all the way on up through college, And, you know, their job is not just in the classroom. It's even when they get home. They are still teaching. As you said earlier in the show, you know, they're still working when they get home. The work doesn't end. And Professor Reams has given us an exemplary amount of information on teachers teaching. But one thing after you go through your panelists, Pastor Eddie, I wonder if we can ask Professor Reams, because he is also a teacher, does he have stress? How does it affect him? And even though he is teaching at an elite level of education, you know, I would have to assume that he has some effects at periods of time also. But, you know, our teachers, you know, they have to deal with many personalities. You know, in the classroom, they have to deal also with the staffs, the governing bodies of teaching. They have to deal with parents, to deal with how much funding do they have where they can have the right amount of supplies. You know, I was looking, I believe it may have been CNN this weekend, where down in Florida, they are banning so many books that teachers cannot use in the classroom. So,
wow.
You know, Carter G. Woodson written a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. Well, I call it The Misguided Education of the Negro, and it's not just us. There are other ethnicities who are affected by how they learn. And so when we're looking at teachers, all of the stressors, you know, we're looking at, are they motivated? Do they love their job? And a lot of these teachers love their job. They love teaching students of all ages. You know, managing their time, you know, it goes back to what you said when it starts at home. You get a student and they get up in these teams and they be able to think and function for themselves, and some of them feel they have the right to do what they want to do without the respect or paying attention to the environment that they're in at that time, which is the classroom. So we're looking at that. We're looking at our legislators now, which I just mentioned, Florida, are getting involved, changing some of the policies on what the way teachers and what they have to use as tools for education. So, you know, this is one of the most difficult jobs in the world now. It's not like when we grew up as kids where, you know, if you got in trouble, you had to do standards in the classroom. You had other disciplinary actions that you had to do, and that teacher contacted the parent. And when that child got home, he had even more disciplinary actions from those parents, whether it was a spanking, chores, even more standards, you know, but nowadays, you know, as parents, are we contributing to the corruption and the lack of moral, the lack of respect to our children by our behavior, by our speech, by the way we conduct ourselves? You know, it's so many of us that, you know, we take more than the liberty of freedom in this country by doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and we don't want any consequences to it. And so this is one of the big stigmas and problems that we all have to face in every day. Are we going to be the best of ourselves in front of our children? Do we use profanity, not just around our children, but toward them? Do we use that, you know? There are some kids who come to school traumatized. You know, they might not talk to the teacher or the counselor or even a fellow student about it, but some kids have such a terrible experience at home. When they come to school, how can they be in a good state of mind well enough to go through learning, and the teacher is dealing with anywhere from 12 to 30 or more different personalities in a classroom? Work to get all of them on that same one accord to listen, learn, and to also perform what they're being taught. So, you know, when we're looking at teachers and the stresses of it, it is crazy. And,
it is.
And I was looking at this. I was looking at this thing online, and I just want to read it. In Florida, the majority of banned books on race. One is How to Be an Anti-Racist by Abraham Kendi, The Bluest Eye of Toni Morrison, Sexuality Forever by Judy Blume, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, and Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, Two Boys Kissing by David Levithan, Gender Queer. And so just to name some of those books that are being banned, when we went to school, you know, we didn't have those challenges such as gender identity, and, you know, you didn't see the same sex kissing the same sex. So it's so much more that these teachers have to handle and deal with, you know.
Right.
Now they have public restrooms where, you know, you can go in almost any bathroom you want. You know, some even have both sex on the door. And if that door isn't locked, a man might walk in on a woman may walk up in on a man, and there's no telling what else is behind that restroom door. But these teachers have to deal with all of these entities when it comes Monday morning and children and students are walking into the classroom. So, Pastor Eddie, I commend you on shining light on such a very important topic, because we all were students at once upon a time, and if we're not still students now, we have ceased to learn and educate ourselves in life. This life is a continual learning process, whether you're in a classroom, whether you're at home, whether you're on a job, you're traveling through your community, or wherever you are. We must be continual students in this thing called life, so that we can always be the better of ourselves. We can always make those better choices. And the last thing here is, there was a party here in L.A., a teenage party, and just down the street from Santee High School. I used to take my son down there. I used to do security work down there. They have this alley where all these shops. And so this young man lost his life Saturday night. Sunday morning, because he got into an argument and a car, excuse the train, and a car ran over him, fled the car. Another car came back, ran over him forward, and then ran over in reverse over this young man. And he just started as a senior in high school. So, you know, not just this student, his family, his classmates, the instructors at their school. This is just something that will affect a lot of people. So when we're talking about teachers, are they stressed out? Why are they quitting? There are so many factors, Pastor Eddie, man. We can't even put a finger on it.
Wow. Let's give a big hand for Brother Clarence and Allen sharing that information with us this morning.
Wow, thank you, Clarence.
Superb. Superb, Clarence. Excellent point.
Right there. Deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, swifter than the rivers, you are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, excuse me, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And if we don't stand up for something, we will end up falling for anything. I want to shout out Brother Thompson Hood. Thank you for joining us, Brother Thompson Hood. Thank you, Minister Moni Scott. Sister Green, Evangelist Valentine, and Shepherdess Brown. It's an honor and a pleasure, Shepherdess Brown. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today on the show. Our topic right now, we're going to be switching up topics in a minute. We're going to hear from my daughter, Talana Jones, who's going to have some final words on our topic is, are teachers stressed out, are teachers burned out, and are teachers underpaid? Yes, they're underpaid. Yes, they're stressed out. And yes, a lot of them are burned out. And a lot of them are just leaving education altogether. I've been hearing teachers are getting migraine headaches. I've been hearing teachers getting anxiety attacks. I've been hearing teachers having bad health when they get ready to go back to school. and a lot of them have been working remotely because of COVID-19, and now they're back in the classroom, and a lot of the kids are behind because of COVID, and it's just causing a lot of problems, and all the commands are coming from the district down to the administrator of that school, and the administrator come down on the teachers, and they have these deadlines that they need to meet, and it's just been overwhelming and very stressful for a lot of teachers. I've been talking to teachers. I read some articles over the weekend pertaining to teacher burnout and why it's happening psychologically, mentally, and a lot of them are going to counselors and psychiatrists, and the students don't even know what the teachers are going through because they just come to school and they just do what they learn. And if you haven't learned anything and you haven't learned respect, how can you come in school and have some etiquette and some respect if you're not getting it at home? And if you have a parent trying to be a child's friend instead of being a child's parent, you have another problem. That's a whole other problem. But let's go to Talana Jones, my daughter. Let's find out why teachers are burned out, stressed out, and having anxiety and having migraine headaches to the point to where sometimes, if you've ever had a headache, that's one thing. But if you've had a migraine where you got to turn off the lights, you can't hear anything, you got to just lay there and cuddle in the bed with yourself and just hope you can overcome that pain, that's stress. And that's a lot of stress. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Why are teachers burned out? Why are teachers stressed out? And why are they leaving education altogether?
All right. We'll do my best. And to my entire panel, like, everybody is exactly right. But what I want to add is what I thought I just heard you say, Dad, is just like parenting, teaching is a thankless job. We don't get the thank yous for, like, you know, teaching a proper lesson, for going through the process and making sure that we reach milestones, that the goals that are set, we reach the deadline. So it just depends on, and then the charismaticism of teachers. It goes both ways, actually, because you don't get a manual for being a teacher and or a parent. You have to learn through some children learn through auditory learning, some children learn from visual learning, some children have issues with learning. So it's how interested are you to make sure that you are giving stimulation to your students? And yes, it also stems along from where it starts, at home. If you're not able to give your child morals, values, standards, and foundation, yes, when they go to school, they're lost. So if you go to school unprepared and you're failing, it's because, and then some students get ridiculed for failing, which also causes stress, depression, post-traumatic issues, and or anything that does with mental health. And it's frustrating for the teacher, because they are underpaid, they are underappreciated, they feel as if, like, I go through this process, it's just like a parent, I go through this process, I raise you up to learn and be something of yourself, and then you get the world values on top of the school values that I've given you, and instead of taking the proper values, you learn from the world. And sometimes the world doesn't teach you exactly what you need to learn always. So you get caught in a situation where you're trying to figure out, is the way that I've learned the right way or my way is the right way? And, of course, we all know, as everyone here, children of God, we know that only the right way is the way. So it becomes frustrating when you want to steer a child in the right direction, but you don't have the proper know-how to know how to help that child. And all of the background that they receive and go through also is how they perform in school. So, yes, I agree with the entire panel. I also want to add some statistics as well. It says, why are teachers unappreciated? It says, while most teachers report that they enjoy teaching, that almost all of them are overwhelmed and unappreciated at times. Three-quarters of teaching is surveyed that they say that they didn't think their profession was appreciated by the students or their public. So going out of our way, giving children the benefit of the doubt, opening up values that they might not even recognize in their lifetime is a priceless value. It's a privilege to be able to teach. So for some teachers, it is a blessing to be able to give away knowledge. And to others, they're just looking for the paycheck. So it really goes both ways. It's not just on the student, it's also on the teacher as well. So I will say this. We are given the privilege and the title to be able to give knowledge. That is a wisdom. Almost God gave wisdom. He taught just like we're teaching right now, parents and teachers. And it's what you do with your method of teaching. It's how you teach that will stimulate the student, that will give them the know-how and want them to come back and want to learn and engage again. It's not easy to learn, especially in a world where, like Dad said, everything is chaotic now. How do you learn in chaos? Stop right there. I yield back.
Well, let's give a big hand for Talana, my daughter, Talana Jones.
Talana
Jones.
Yes. Talana Jones. Well said.
Talana.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was fantastic. That was phenomenal. It's so important. And we're talking about teachers, teacher burnout, teacher stress. And I just talked to a teacher over the weekend that had to go to the hospital. I'm not going to say any names, but they had to go to the hospital because they actually had a migraine headache and they actually passed out at school. Hallelujah. Thank you, Shepherdess Brown. Shepherdess Brown said, brilliant mind. Oh, my God, that is such a compliment. Thank you so much, Shepherdess Brown. That is an honor and a pleasure. We have some brilliant minds on our show all the time, and Shepherdess Brown, you're one of them. I look forward to having you as a guest because we want to hear your music. We want to hear your ministry. And we're talking about why teachers are stressed out, why they're burned out, and not just because of COVID-19. But what the district is kicking down to the administrators and what the administrators are kicking down to the teachers. And as I stated before, if you didn't hear me earlier, I said teachers have a lot of titles. They are a doctor. They are a counselor. They are a mother. They are a father. They are a psychologist. They are a psychiatrist. They are a teacher. And they are a mentor. And they are a motivator. And they teach self-respect and self-love. They prepare you for the future. And if the way our future is looking right now looks pretty grim when it comes to depending on the students that we have today. Our young people today, unfortunately, I hate to say this, they're out of control. And when I see, I get so upset when I see a mother, and a young mother and a young father, and the mother's pushing the basket, pushing the stroller, and have the groceries in her hand, and he's walking, texting on his phone, or she's driving the car, he's leaning way back in the seat, texting. Where, come on, men, stand up. Stand up, men. We can't allow, we got to respect. Yes, you may. Go right ahead.
That's priceless. I love that you just said that. I just want to speak up for the parents who do.
Amen.
Who, you know, I just want to thank the parents who don't give up, that it's not easy to put structure and foundation into a child, and learning that villaging is the most important tool that we have in order to give them the know-how to be able to go to school and receive the knowledge that they deserve. I recall when we didn't have a privilege to read, write, or go to school. So it's not that the setting is not perfect. It's that we have to learn how to receive the knowledge. And it's on both spectrums. The teacher.
Amen.
And
praise God. Amen. Amen. Hey, Sister Elizabeth Mooney, God bless you too. And we're talking about education. We're about to switch reels in a couple of minutes, but I want to get some closing remarks from Professor Reams, because he is a professor at a university, and he is a teacher.
And so, hold on a second. Let's see here. Let's see.
Thank you, Professor.
May I add something?
I'm sorry, say that. Oh, yeah, Vera, go right ahead. Vera, please. Take the floor.
Okay, so in my opinion, yes, the teachers are burned out, and the teachers are stressed out. I do have a couple of friends that are teachers, and some were cringing to go back to work, and others were like, I just can't wait to get back to work. So as we know, all of us, we're all teachers, and the children, you know, they look up to us. And so we are the front line, the teachers are the front line, the parents are the front lines, the grandparents, and any adult, we're the front line for the children. And it is a priority for all of us to step in. Like Professor Reams had mentioned, it takes a village. Yes. And so the children have to have structure, and the teachers are one that provide that to our children when they are not at home. So the teachers, from my opinion, they're our backbone. They're the secondary parents, you know, not just the babysitter, they're secondary parents because they want to encourage the children to learn, to do, and to have something to look forward to. And it is a big role for us. It's a big role for parents, teachers, grandparents, and all the frontline workers because our nurses, doctors, teachers, the fire and police are all front lines, and parents and teachers and grandparents are up there. So I will lay that down and put it back over to you, Eddie. And
all right,
Clarence had mentioned something about standards. I just wanted to mention, Eddie, Clarence mentioned something about standards. And
standards.
The type of standards I would give my children, my nieces, nephews, or someone else's children, my standards were maybe I would give you anywhere from 1 to 10, but my standards were not something that you could do I will not. No, I would have an entire whole page. So in order
right.
to do the whole page, you would have to end up looking up words. And you would have to explain the reason that I'm giving you standards. So that was my standards. And I yield back to you.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Vera. Thank you so very much.
Amen.
Now, listen, everybody. Amen. Amen.
Dr. Greenpeace. Doctors in the house.
Hallelujah. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. If you want to listen to our show, dial 646-787-8064. Press 1. 646-787-8064 and press 1. It'll put you in the queue. Or you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you type Eddie Jones Jr. _ productions, and you'll be able to listen to the show like that and see all the pictures of all the people on the show. Wait, we got a call in the 503-747 area code. One moment. Caller in the 503-747 area code, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh, it's Linda Goldie. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda. Yes.
Hey, amen. Welcome to the show,
well,
Linda Goldie. Everything's well. We will be doing poetry in motion in just a little while, so hold on to your seat. Don't go anywhere. Now, I want to make a phone call because I want to call somebody on the show, and let's see if we can get him on the phone right now. And then we're going to go into our second topic after this. And I'll tell you what our second topic is in a minute. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're doing a call, an unplanned phone call. This is just unplanned.
Hello, KYCC.
Good morning. Yes, I'd like to speak to LaTanya Clark or Preston Bryant.
Okay. Do you have an extension number, by the way?
Yes, extension 5622.
5622. Okay, hold on, please.
Thank you very much. We're on hold, but we can hear you. want to talk to Tanya Cox and Christian Bryant. Let's see if we can get them on the phone.
Good morning, Ms. Clark speaking. How may I help you?
Yes, good morning, Mrs. Clark. You're on a live radio show. This is Eddie Justice Jones Jr. You're on the Eddie Justice Jones Jr. radio talk show. Everybody say good morning to Mrs. LaTanya Clark.
Good morning, LaTanya.
Good morning, LaTanya.
Good morning, LaTanya.
Mrs. Clark, are you there? Hello, Mrs. Clark. Wait, did we lose her? Okay, I don't know. I don't know if we lost her or what happened here. Let's try that again.
I think we did.
Okay, Ms. Clark, are you there? Let's try that again. Okay. I don't know what happened on that one. Well, let me tell you what's going on. Mrs. Clark works for the Housing Services. She's a Housing Services Coordinator at the Menlo Family Center, which is a Koreatown Youth Community Center, and they do work for kids and for parents in the community. But we were just going to have a word, but I don't know what happened. Some kind of way the call got dropped and we lost the call. So I'm going to try one more time and see if we can get through one more time. And if not, we're just going to move on, and we'll get them on again at another time. Can't get them. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, and we don't do this every day. We do what we do. Okay, we're not getting through, so we're going to move right on to our next topic. And we were going to talk with them, and that was going to be on our topic, but we'll do that next time. So our second topic, our truckers and trains and port workers are going on strike. How will we get our goods? Truckers, trains, and port workers are going on strike. How will we get our goods? And we are nothing without our goods. We need our goods. We need toilet paper. We need paper towel. We need food. We need water. All these things come in from, they come into the port of Los Angeles in Long Beach and San Pedro and the L.A. Ports down there. A lot of our trains come in through there and a lot of our truckers, but they're all going to be going on strike. And and you know how hard it was during the pandemic. They couldn't even get the ships to come into the ports. They were just out there sitting on the water, or they were stuck and they couldn't move because of COVID-19. And if you want to see the results of it, just look in your grocery stores or any place you want to go, and you couldn't find a lot of food on the shelf. A lot of different things were not on the shelf. And just yesterday, I was in a place where certain items were just not on the shelf, or they were fronting it off like it's all there, but you look behind that one or two items, and it's just an empty shelf because there's something going on right now, and this is what we need to wake up and pay attention to. What is going on is what we need to find out. Why are they going to go on strike at the ports? Why are they going on strikes with trucking? And what does that mean for our future? It means that you need to stock up. It means you need to store up. That's right. You need to do like they did in the biblical days. You need to have a lot of storage in your storehouse. You need to store up your water, food, rice, beans, flashlights, first aid kits, generators, and everything else, because if this takes place the way that it's going down, the way that they're saying that it's going to go down, it's going to be a long, hard time for a lot of people the last time when the pandemic first came and they said, you know, you're not going to have certain goods. I couldn't find cereal. Certain cereal wasn't there. And I'm talking about Rice Krispies because I was looking for Rice Krispies and I couldn't find any. Couldn't even make a Rice Krispie treat. You couldn't find certain juices, teas. All the teas were off the shelf. I was like, hey, where's the tea? Oh, well, we're waiting on our shipment. Go in and order a certain type of meat. Oh, well, right now we're waiting on our shipment to come in with the meat. And all that stuff is on trucks and coming in through ships in the ports and on trains.
And they're talking about going on strike on all in all these areas. And if they do, because with the trains, they haven't been paid right for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. The port has been suffering, and they've been backed up for 2 or 3 years now, and they're trying to get their thing back together. So we need to be concerned about exactly non-perishable batteries, canned food. You need to stock up and store up, and then you need to write out a list to see what you do have stocked up. Sleeping bags. I know it sounds funny right now, but it's coming. And if you're not ready, you don't have to get ready. But if you get ready, you'll stay ready, and you won't have to worry about getting ready. So this is what I'm talking about this morning. And this is what we're talking about. This is another civil rights issue that a lot of people aren't aware of, because on the news, they're not going to tell you this on the news. They're not going to tell you that they're all going on strike. They're not going to tell you. Now imagine the trains go on strike, the truckers go on strike, and the ships coming into the port go on strike all at the same time. That's not a good look for stakeholders. Okay? That's not a good look for community members. That's not a good look for the city. It's not a good look for the state. And it's definitely not a good look for the country. Okay? And it's putting people out of business. It's putting people out of jobs. It's doing a lot to our economy right now. And we need to pay attention to what's going on with our economy. So without further ado, I'm going to go to Professor Reams so he can tell us, why are they going to strike in the train system, the truckers, and the ships coming into the port? Why are they going to strike, and what will it do to our economy? What will it do to our stock market, and what will it do to us innocent people who need to have perishables and goods every single day? I remember the day when people went in to buy toilet paper and paper towel, and it wasn't one roll on the shelf. It was not one roll on the shelf. And people were fighting over toilet paper. People were fighting over it. Okay, hey, Brother James Hudson, how are you all the way from Texas? All right, my brother, welcome to the show. Yes, yes, we better be prepared. Professor Reams, please take the floor. What's really going on? Why are the trains, truckers, and the ships coming into the port striking almost at the same time? Why is that going to take place, and what will it do to us?
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Now, over the years, the Port of L.A., as well as the truckers, and as well as even the trains, as you've mentioned before, have had these long-term contracts which have come up for renewal. And often what has occurred with many, whether it's the City of L.A. or with Amtrak and some of the other freight companies, is that they always try to find some way of doing it cheaper, or without considering that they need to pay the employees to match inflation, because inflation and or cost of living was going up. It wasn't matching what their salaries were. Plus, they put in more restrictive with the trains itself, as was mentioned in the prior broadcast, is that the trains were placed on these 24/7 routes as well as schedules, to where folks, just like the teachers, were finding that their job was toxic. It was a horrible place to work at because, mm-hmm. again, they had to make up these deadlines. They had to make sure that the trains were running on time, but it didn't allow for folks to have a balance between their work life and train life. They were stuck there having to work these new hours and also make these deadlines. With the port, the prior strike that happened back in 2012, 2013 was due to the fact that they were trying to bring in day laborers and non-union folks to get the work done, and they were not negotiating in good faith to make sure that whatever increases that the union wanted was going to be made by the city. So that's when they struck then. And so if you add up with truckers and the pay that they're paying, it comes down to pay, benefits, and also good quality of life, because they're expecting the folks to make up the difference as a result of the pandemic, and now trying to push schedules where they don't have the time or luxury to function, causing exhaustion, migraines, anxiety, all of these things. And even in those fields, people are trying to leave because they're trying to work them to death. So to get around this, now let's understand, I used to do negotiations with City of L.A. We'd always be on one side management, and then on the other side would be employees, and then we would also be working in good faith to make sure that the negotiations would go through and that we would honor the tradition of fair negotiations, which would lead to a benefit, okay? That was not happening individually in these companies. So as a way to keep the issue going, along with showing what shortages will occur, many of the companies have decided, okay, if you're not going to do this, we're going to keep this in the issue so that we can get what we want. This was so compelling that in 2018, President Joe Biden had to sign the Presidential Emergency Board Act, of which what he would have to do is he establishes a presidential emergency board that says, okay, look, we're under an emergency, so you all keep working. Do not go on strike to keep everything running, and we're going to work at the same time you're working on this agreement. So it allows him to bring in a third party, not anyone from those companies or the city, to be there so that it is well negotiated. So what he's done is brought in a third party, which would be like an arbitrator. Many times when we would have what is called an impasse, which is what happened the last time, nothing gets done, folks stay on strike, and we suffer. How do we suffer? Yeah, just as we experienced when the pandemic was around, not finding stuff, that's going to be about it and more. So as you've mentioned, well, Pastor Jones, stock up, have your emergency rations, have your military rations, do everything that you can. And you need to have that anyway, because we're planning for either a flood, as we talked about last week, or an earthquake. And so you just keep doing what you're doing in light of the pandemic, because of the fact that we're also heading into a new variant, so we don't know how that's going to go. So whatever you've been doing to work to stock up, continue to do that. But in the meantime, President Biden has made sure that they won't stop completely and keep things going because it's a supply chain issue. So this means that a third party like myself as a mediator will come in and say, okay, look, this is what we've got, this is what you have, and if you're hiding any money, companies, you need to cough it up and rethink how you're doing the work, because we're not leaving until you get this done. So nobody leaves the table until an agreement is fleshed out by all these companies so that we can keep moving. You know, and so that's good that the president is taking on a period, because then it allows for a cooling off period intended where both parties work through the negotiation settlements, but keeps the lights running and keeps everything going. But you will see in this process where, as a reminder, you won't see your Rice Krispies or any other things that you're looking for to keep it in check. Because of the fact that if they don't, then the other companies say, well, see, you know, everything's fine. You don't have to. No. A negotiation, you want to make sure that the problem is up front in front of everyone so that they know what the consequences are, that this is a little inconvenient. We don't get into a negotiation and a negotiated settlement, it's going to be even worse, maybe five times as worse as it was with the pandemic. Now what are you going to do? So this is the reason why they're doing it, as a tool to leverage, because they've been ignored for the past 2 to 3 years when they try to negotiate in good faith. So it comes down to greed and avarice and hubris. So you know you've lost control when you have to ask the president and the mayor and the governor to come and try to resolve this, because this is what happened back in 2012 and 2013. So, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
All right. Thank you, Professor Rain. Thank you. Now, what we're talking about truckers, trains, and ships coming into the port going on strike all at the same time. What will that do to our economy? What will it do to our stock market? And what will it do to families at home trying to feed their kids and buy goods that you need every day, whether it be a spray for your restroom or deodorant or whatever? All this stuff comes into the country from other countries. And if the ships are stuck out there and they're on strike, they're not coming into the port, and trains are on strike, they're not going to be running on the rail, and truckers on strike, they're not going to be coming around the mountain to deliver stuff, we're going to have major issues, because everybody's going to try to hit the grocery store at one time, and we're going to have
discombobulation of human beings acting out of character because they can't get the necessities that they need to take care of themselves and their family members. Without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Clarence Emmanuel to give us some information on how he feels about trains, trucks, and ships going on strike at the same time. Go ahead, Brother Clarence, take the floor, and we're counting down. In the next 5 minutes, we're going to do our regular segment, and we'll be going to some wonderful things. Go ahead, Clarence, take the floor.
Thank you once again, Pastor Jerry, and all the panelists, especially to all our listeners who are tuning in. Another hot-button topic because this affects each and every one of us. You know, about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine passed away, and I went to his funeral, and they cremated him, and we went out to see. So the family chartered a boat down there at the harbor, and we went out a couple of miles, and this was right around in the thick of the pandemic where all the work stopped. Down at the port, all those ships had piled up, and it was so many storage and container of ships out there at that sea. It was unbelievable. We all read about it, heard about it, watched it on the news. And even there were so many containers bogged down in the port that even the president, Biden, had to step in. The governor had to step in. It was the mayors couldn't do nothing of Long Beach and Los Angeles. And so they implemented a tax containers. If you stay over a certain amount of days, they would be taxed. So then that opened the ports back up again. And, you know, where I stay here in West Long Beach, this 710 freeway and this Alameda corridor, you know, all you seen was containers on trains down there. You seen trucks. It's still even difficult today at certain times to travel the 710 freeway. And so even before that, Governor Newsom passed a law called AB5 back in 2019. And this law adjusts the employment status of workers when hiring an entity claims the worker as an independent contractor and not an employee. And so that law was implemented to distinguish, are you an employee of a company or are you an independent contractor? Because there are differences in your rights, there are differences in your benefits. And so that was implemented. But right now we are facing a critical crisis. You know, even when we look at this war in Ukraine, it is affecting us worldwide. They just started to allow ships over there to bring grain out to feed the world. This we had no idea, at least I didn't, how vital that what they grow services the world with food. You know, the United States is a huge farm and food resource, not just us, but around the world. So when we bog down these containers, when we bog down these trucks, when we bog down these trains, it also bogged down the employees at the ports. And are they getting a fair pay? Are they getting fair breaks? Are they getting fair benefits for the work they do? They're stressed out because, you know, it sounds good getting overtime, but you can only work so long before your mind and your body breaks down. You have to rest and replenish your mind and body. So, you know, will they be going on strike? There are a lot of talks. So we will see as time come by. And so like Pastor Ed, Professor Marines, make sure that we just have a stock. You know, they're even talking about down south where with the drought and these rivers are drying up. So a lot of farmers are selling off their beef. Meat is going to be hard to come by. These foods and stores. Pastor Eddie mentioned it last week and even today how bare some of the shelves are. So, you know, we have to be ready. Granny V always said, grow your own vegetables. So, you know, we have to think like that. Even if it's in a flower pot, grow something, you know, so we can go in the backyard if it get difficult to find what we want. maybe we can find it in our backyard or something else to remedy that until that time comes. So once again, thank you, Pastor Eddie, for this hot button topic. It's vital.
Right on. Thank you very much, Brother Clarence. It is now 10:30 a.m. Thank you, Brother Clarence. It's now 10:30 a.m.
Thank you.
You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Everybody keep asking, what is the topic? The topic, our second topic is, are truckers and trains and port workers going on strike? And yes, they are. How will we get our goods? How will it affect us economically? How will it affect the stock market? And how will it affect families who are trying to take care of their kids and their loved ones and their households? When you don't have oil for your car because there's no oil to come in on the shelf, you go in there to get some oil and you can't find any oil on the shelf. Or you go in there to get whatever you want to get and it's not on the shelf. This is an economic breakdown. You don't see the enormity of it right now because it's not affecting you as of now. But when it does transpire and take place, and it will, then you will have to be prepared. But if you get prepared, you won't have to be prepared. So I'm just saying to you, as a wonderful help, a self-help thing, go stock up on your stuff. Go stock up on your batteries, light bulbs, generators, and you don't know when they're going to say, okay, rolling blackouts are going to take place. Well, I don't know if you remember the rolling blackouts and when you would have your lights off for hours at a time. But if you have a generator and they want to turn the lights off, then you can turn on your generator and light up your whole house. Light up your refrigerator. You need batteries for your flashlights. You need tents. You need sleeping bags. You don't know what's going to happen. But I tell you one thing, something's happening. You can look at the sign of the times and see that something is going on right now. And it's happening like never before. So now we're going to go into our regular segment. We were going to hear from our other co-hosts and co-producers. But instead, we're going to go into our regular segment. And we're going to start off with health and wellness with Vera Jones. So get your pen and paper out. It's time for health and wellness. Vera, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Okay, Eddie, can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay. So today my topic will be on loving the skin that we are in. And I just want to mention a disclaimer. I am not a doctor, but I am Dr. Granny V, given by Professor Reams. Okay. So today I want to begin from the top to the bottom. Okay, so I want to speak about our head, our scalp, and if whether we have hair or we're bald. So if we're bald, then sometimes we need to apply some aloe vera because it is very moisturizing, and you can apply that after washing your hair. And also what is great if you're in the sun is to cover your scalp with a hat. Or you can make sure that you're not in the direct sun for a long period of time. So let's protect our eyes with sunglasses, and we can also rinse them with the Refresh Eye Rinse. Next, I want to speak about our face, because our face is the first thing that we see, because we're all visual. So all queens and kings, what you can do weekly is do a face steam and apply a mask, because we want to remove the dry and the dead skin, because all of us, we shed like a snake daily. And you can also, if you don't have a mask, make a mask with egg or mayo. Next, I would say let's exfoliate the old and then moisturize it with some aloe vera or your favorite lotion. Because we want a face that is glowing. Now, with our nose, it would be great to invest in a neti pot. Everyone should have one because we have smog. We can rinse our nasal, and we can also release mucus when there are colds or flus. Now let's protect our heart with love and more prayer to the Most High and for others. So massage your heart in a circular motion, and you can do it to yourself, and it's also great to massage someone else's heart that you love. Now our organs, our cells, our bones protect us, our soul and our spirit. So make sure you're giving gratitude for everything and for waking up another day. Now what type of soap are you cleansing your body with? Now my favorite is Dr. Bonner's because it's Castile soap and it's eucalyptus, peppermint, orange, and rose. So make sure that the soap that you are using is not affecting your skin. And let's think about hydrating. Okay, so we all know that we must hydrate with water. Yes, we should. We should also dry skin. We should exfoliate our skin with a dry brush. That's what I must say. With a dry brush before you get in the shower or the tub. And it's great to drink some infused water if you're one that has a difficulty drinking just plain old water, which I enjoy. And you can also set yourself a timer if you're one that don't drink water as often. And you can infuse some cucumbers, strawberries, or you can also have some turmeric milk, which is great. So if your stomach growls, it doesn't always mean that you're hungry. Guess what? Your body is speaking to you, telling you, hey, put some water in my system. Because what goes out, it must come in. Then the skin that we are in, we must love. And we have to keep it healthy as possible. So you can enjoy your skin that you're in by getting a massage, because that's TLC. Now, as we all know, the skin is the largest organ of our body. So dry skin brushing and exfoliating, whether you're in the shower or tub, is great. And give yourself a soak and a steam. And then make sure that we moisturize, and we want to keep the lymph in our body moving. And in closing, the skin that we are in, well, the skin that I am in enjoys oils and butters. So some of the butters that I use is coconut, olive oil, shea butter, or cocoa butter along with almond. So let's make sure that we get some of that sun that we need with the vitamin D. And if we don't want too much water, just hydrate with some green tea, some lemon water, aloe vera, a veggie juice that you made, or some coconut water or coffee. And the coffee should be black. And what we can avoid is the refined foods, the fried, the salty, the cookies, and the sugar, and include more fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, and those green veggies, especially broccoli and avocado, along with the Brussels sprouts, kale, and spinach. And we can have some of those grapefruits like oranges, watermelon, or mangoes, along with pomegranates and apples. In closing, as I mentioned before, we are going to love and protect the skin that we are in for radiant, glowing, and a beautiful skin at any age, Dr. Granny V.
All right, all right. Let's give Vera a big hand for her health and wellness.
Ooh, ooh.
Thank you very, very much. And without further ado, it is time for Poetry in Motion, Poetry in Motion. And following Poetry in Motion, we're going to go to Talana Jones for Words of Wisdom. Then we'll go to Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual, and then we will go to Professor Reams with the commentary, and then I will have the closing remarks. Without further ado, Linda Goldie, take the floor, give us Poetry in Motion.
Yeah, I chose this one because I recently had a visit from my daughter and granddaughter. I know my children love me, although I can't say why. They are so far above me, sometimes it makes me cry. I wonder if they'll miss me or just a memory half buried in a fantasy of how it used to be. I know my children love me. They say it with a card. a package or a phone call, though life for them is hard. In ways beyond my knowing, it's showing, but their speech is also is always careful, cautious, and quite beyond my reach. I know my children love me, but what more can I do? Their lives are now much larger, and battles they've been through have made them wiser, stronger than I will ever be. So help me, Lord, please help me now to share their victory.
Amen.
I got my
Wow. That was Poetry in Motion on the A. Jones Radio Talk Show from Linda Goldie all the way down in Oregon. And that was beautiful. That was just very beautiful. Without further ado, it is time for Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
All right. Thank you so much. Ooh. Thank you guys again, and welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today is a short read. I gave, this was something that I was able to write over the previous weekend, and I pray you enjoy. This is something that I know we all need to hear, and it's just shying away from the illusions of the world and focusing only on what's real. It's been like the news, and everything that's in the news is not always real. Social media is not always real. The things that we've gravitated to, I love Dad's topic last Monday about are we stuck in our phones, or are we, you know, just is the phone just a tool for us to be able to maneuver another form of technology that they've given us so that they can be able to focus in on what's going on in our lives. And so, again, the wisdom, I pray you enjoy, and it reads, all men are the same good and evil in our culture can be found in every culture. Color isn't the issue. Ignorance is our problem. Look inside ourselves. What else can exist but to be proud of the color that we are? Embrace others as we want others to embrace us. Never be ashamed of where you come from. No one of our sons and daughters, granddaughters, or any elder over, ancestor in between, deserves to be called anything but proud of their skin. Respect is always in order. Stand up for us. What gives us meaning is to stand together. You can't represent our country if you don't stand for something. Treasure every wonder God blesses us with. Walk with grace and honor. Our color, whatever it may be, is powerful and beautiful. Like the foundation of planting a seed, faithfully and watching it grow. Always thank God for everything, great and small. Respect the nobility of wisdom. Prayer changes everything. From the greatest problems to the smallest issues, we have to learn to conquer our fears, to rise up in faith together, and to realize that we are all warriors for glory. And I'm going to stop there. I thank you guys. Oh, matter of fact, I want to end with this. The life. We have to allow God to be the life that he laid down for us, to experience life as a good teacher and be patient through it, to press through the pressure. God bless you all, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for the words of wisdom.
Well said.
Thank you. Well said. Well, let's see, we have a caller in the 562-519 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 562-519 area code. Are you there? Okay, maybe they just want to be on hold. Yes, is this Aretha?
Yes, I'm on a different line.
Okay, everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones. Everybody say good morning to Aretha.
Good morning, Dr. Aretha.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Well, without further ado, it's time for Aretha Adams Jones with Mental Health and You, because mental health matters. Go right ahead, take the floor, Aretha Adams Jones. Give us Mental Health and You.
Hey there. Good morning again, and happy Monday to all of you. And I wanted to share with you this interesting article that I read in Psychology Today, and it's from the January-February 2022 edition. And it says, there's so many benefits of having meaningful conversations with strangers. Believe it or not, there are a lot of benefits to that. And this article was entitled, A Reason to Reach Out. Having meaningful conversations with strangers may be far more enjoyable than we expect. And it says, engaging in meaningful conversations with others, it actually strengthens social bonds. And it boosts well-being far more than does small talk. Yet many people dread or even actively avoid intimate conversations, especially with those they don't know well. So the question is asked, why are we so reluctant to engage in an activity that could benefit us so acutely? And according to new research, it says that it may be due to miscalibrated expectations, and changing them could foster deeper connection. So try reaching out to a stranger and engage in a meaningful conversation, a conversation other than small talk, and check out the benefits. Just remember that mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you all.
Wow.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
That was wonderful. That was fantastic. And thank you so much, Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, that we needed to hear that. And without further ado, we're going to bring on Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. It's 10:47 a.m. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Another trait that has seemed to have become long lost, especially in today's world, is training. Training is essential in almost every aspect of life. We all need training in order to become even better in our experience in whatever you do. Life itself is a very lifelong training process. The more you train towards your life journey, the better you will eventually become. To train is to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. To teach as to make fit, qualified, or proficient. At your own pace, start your training process and continue to always train. Train yourself to regulate. Now that I have your undivided attention, what are you waiting for? You should have started long ago. I have begun to train, increase your training toward whatever you are pursuing. There may come some time when training alone may not seem to be enough. We should all know that even a little training is better than no training at all. You should also consider any training is good. But to become better than good, you will need to practice. Yes, practice. To become better than good, this is not just practice, this is regulate. Practice is a repeated action, function, and or application in order to become a perfect or a proficient performer. I think practice is a much more concentrated effort put forth into a training exercise. Always practice as much as you're able to practice. It has been said that the rest is for those who are weary. Practice, it is the new rest for those who regulate. Remember, train to learn, practice to get better, and practice to regulate. And I will stop there, and you can read more about this only in the book of Regulate the Manual. It is written, and you are in here.
All right, Brother Clarence.
Thank you.
Right on.
Thank you, Brother Clarence.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Clarence.
Well done, the regulator.
Wow. That's how you regulate that. Now, what a phenomenal show it has been, and what a phenomenal show it still is. And you know why?
Amen.
Because it's time for one of the most important parts of the show, and that is the commentary. So without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, the panel, the brilliance of our panel members and the topic that you've laid out has just been fantastic. It has been superb. And so with that, thank you, Pastor Jones, for once again allowing our 15 minutes fame for our panelists for a wonderful forum where we can talk and share and provide our opinions, but also show where the good Lord fits in all of this. To Cousin V, a wonderful shout-out. Hope all is well. To Clarence Allen again, the regulator, training, and practicing are the two of the keys which I'll be coming back to on the commentary. Dr. Granny V, once again, reminding us of what's more important is to keep ourselves healthy and happy and doing it in such a way that shows how much we appreciate ourselves and our lives. And then Talana knocked it out of the park, because when Dr. Granny V talked about loving your skin, you've also talked about loving our color, our skin as well, and showing that pride that we should have each and every day as we move forward in the direction that the good Lord wants us to go to. Dr. Aretha, once again, mental health and trying something new and benefiting by having meaningful conversations with strangers can be nerve-wracking but also exhilarating when it does work, and it will by practicing and training about it. And then finally, I got my hug to Linda Goldie once again with I Know My Children Love Me, and this is what I will start into. Clarence, you had asked what it felt like or what was going on as a teacher overall, and this will be where the commentary comes in. So in our discussion, we talked about teachers, and we also talked about the issue of truckers and trains and port workers. And each of these are also part of the service that's provided, because, of course, service is the highest that God has provided us, and so it's an honor to be able to serve. And so I think of not only what we're doing presently, but also God, as Talana mentioned, as the teacher. Think of all the things that the good Lord has trained us, as Clarence mentioned, and teachers, and has taught us, only to see what we've done with it. He's led us. He's given us a foundation in prayer. He's given us all the things that we need to force. And then from there, he does the what would seem impossible by letting us have choice to move forward. And whether we go forward in the right way, as was talked about, or whether we go the left way, it's still up to us. But he'll still love us and, as Linda Goldie mentioned, share in our victory when we finally see the way. So in the process, you did ask me what was going on as a teacher. One of the things that happens is that, just like Joe Biden, once I meet my students, they now become Marines, just like no different than Pastor Jones, where once you're with Pastor Jones, you now become a Jones as well. So I'm now Professor Reams Jones in the Jones family as well with all the other Joneses. And so with that loving way, you have that feeling of motivation, you have that feeling of love, because, of course, there's nothing you can do about it once you are indoctrinated within the family. And the thing that is missing is that foundation that we have, where the students and the family members have lost the fact of what the ultimate goal is, and that's to prepare their child for the ability through training, through practice, to survive in the world, and also to make sure they're contributing back to the society. Unfortunately, we do what we want to do. We don't think of the big thing that comes on with teaching. So when I have my students, I let them know, you're now my academic babies. And so as my babies, I'm going to talk to you just like I talk to my kids to make sure that you've got it. Now, many of these folks are senior managers. They're VPs. They're all of this. But when they get into the classroom, they revert back to K-12, because this is where the fun and the joy of teaching is shown, because we're trying to get them to learn something new or fortify that they matter because they know something. That's why in the early talks about what the parents were doing, it was important because it just was a confirmation that the foundation that the student was getting from the parents was fortified by the teacher, and the teacher then giving it back on weaknesses that we need to work on together in that cyclical village that we would produce in raising the children. So in looking at the issues on why the burnout is there, there's also the other thing that happens in my classroom. I want them to learn, period. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that they've got the right resource, the right information. I was just with a number of students who were worried about whether they're going to get this done or get that done. And so we said, no, we're going to get done. We're going to get it together, and we're going to work as a team, and we're going to walk with you in your journey. No different than the good Lord does when we set a goal. He has trained us, and now we want to see this journey through with him, whether it ends up with us walking together or he's carrying me or whoever across the finish line. So either way, that's where the journey begins. And when it doesn't work out, it is heartbreaking. It is very stressful. It is as though you failed in some way. But you also understand that failure is a lesson in and of itself, because it now shows you what you can do and what you can, when you fall down, and this is the way the song is, you get back up and continue to fall down and get back up, and it's okay. But when you have those artificial rules, regulations, and standards on how you should fall down and how you should get up, then that's where you will feel a sense of burnout. But understand that even in that matter, you go back to the good Lord and say, look, think of how I feel when I've done my best. I've given what I can, and then this is what's happening. But I have faith in you. I trust in you. And I know that you may not get it now, but trust in me, and we will work together to bring it around. So we're seeing the despair now of what's going after a pandemic. This would probably be the same despair we'd had after World War II, or the same despair during the Revolutionary War, after, or even after the Civil War. And we would have our dark days. It would be low, and we would hear, you know, this generation doesn't have a clue. But then somehow, somewhere, does shine. The Lord steps in, and the steps continue to happen because there's hope, because as Talon mentioned, we still have the good parents who are doing everything they can that is a balance to a lot of things that we're seeing. And we need to have faith in them that these things will move forward, so that in the end, we all share in the victory that the God that we serve has provided to us. And so in looking at these topics, both the teachers and the truck trainers, employees and port workers are teaching us of just the simple and reminder of how they are dedicated to service. And in doing so, it reminds us that it is a privilege to be able to serve in the direction of the Lord. That I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right, Professor Reen. Professor Reen.
That was really good. Slam the trunk of the limo.
Thank you.
That was an amazing commentary. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. I want to thank all of our co-hosts and co-producers on the show. I want to thank Brother Clarence M. Allen. I want to thank Cousin V. I want to thank my sister Vera Jones, Mental Health and Health and Wellness. I want to thank Aretha Adams Jones, Mental Health and You. I want to thank Linda Goldie, Poetry in Motion. I want to thank my daughter, Talana Jones, for words of wisdom, and I also want to thank Professor Reams for the commentary, and I just want to send out blessings to everybody. I want to thank Minister Moni Scott, Evangelist Virginia Valentine, Debbie Taylor, Ernie Green, Justin Hood, and all the other people that came on this morning
shout out
on Facebook Live.
And everybody on
shout
Facebook.
Out. Amen. Praise God. Now, say that again.
And shout out to everybody on Facebook.
Amen. Shout out to everybody on Facebook. Yes. Thank you guys so much.
A lot.
And what a wonderful show. And God bless everybody. And let me just say this to you really quick. We'll be here next Monday, the good Lord say so, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Whatever you do, remember the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Remember that God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. So listen, take out time to listen to God and allow him to speak to you. Sometimes we have to take a time out so we can hear what God is trying to tell us. And remember never to forget. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But the real question is, what's going on, y'all? God bless you. I love you. We'll be here next week. Take care.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man. Brother,
right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light and pick it fast. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you.